It is Thursday, March 1st, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, Russian President Vladimir Putin says Moscow has tested new nuclear weapons. Italy prepares for parliamentary elections this weekend, and singer Kesha releases a new single and continues a legal battle. It's all ahead. Russian President Vladimir Putin says his military has tested an array of new strategic nuclear weapons that can hit almost any target in the world and cannot be intercepted by foreign adversaries.
Russia was and remains a big nuclear state, but no one wanted to speak with us constructively. No one has listened to us. You listen to us now.
Putin spoke to lawmakers in Moscow that the country had achieved technological breakthroughs that could give its military new global standing. He showed videos of some of the new weapons on a large screen at a conference hall not far from the Kremlin, with officials standing frequently to applaud and later singing the national anthem. VOA national security correspondent Jeff Selden is at the Pentagon. He tells me the U.S. military's response to Putin's claims.
Well, officials at the Pentagon and in the U.S. national security community are taking a look at the specific weapons that he mentioned. But one of the things officials have said and have known about for quite some time is that Russia, under Putin, has put an emphasis on modernizing and updating its military capabilities, both its conventional military capabilities and its nuclear military capabilities. So the fact that Russia is working on upgraded defenses, missile capabilities, really isn't a shock to anybody in the U.S. Now, whether or not these systems that he mentioned, the cruise missile he talked about that he said can evade all U.S. defenses, whether or not those can actually live up to the hype or are actually ready to go and can be deployed now, those are much bigger questions, and there is some skepticism about how far along the Russians actually are.
Yes, because he said that these new strategic nuclear weapons can hit almost any target in the world and cannot be intercepted by foreign adversaries. That's a pretty broad claim.
It is a broad claim, but it fits into a narrative that Russia under Putin has been trying to craft and build upon for some time, and that is that Russia is a military power that is equal or superior in some cases to the United States or any other power in the West. Now, U.S. officials will tell you that's simply not true. The U.S. has more military capability than Russia. But it's something that Russia wants to believe. It wants the world to believe. And it's a message that's been building for a couple of reasons. First of all, you do have elections coming up in Russia. And while there's little doubt that Putin is going to win, this is the type of red meat, if you will, that politicians will toss out to their base to get people to feel more enthusiastic about them and about their cause and about their chances under their leadership. So there's a little bit of an internal political game that could be going on here. But also, Russia has really been intent on reestablishing itself and trying to craft a position for itself as a dominant power, as an equal or more than an equal with the U.S. on the world stage. And one of the ways it's tried to do that is with its military and the way it's used its military in places like Ukraine, in places like Syria, which U.S. officials have said some of what Russia has been doing has been tactical or strategic in terms of achieving aims in Ukraine or propping up the regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. But they've also said that Russia has been using those areas as basically a showroom. They've been using those conflicts as a showroom to show off their weaponry, to generate weapon sales. To the extent that's worked is a question, but countries that have previously done business with the U.S. and bought U.S. weaponry, like Egypt, Turkey, they have been talking with Russia. There's been some renewed interest in Russian military capabilities for other countries that want to buy equipment and hardware. So there's a lot of reasons why Vladimir Putin would talk about these capabilities, would brag about these capabilities in a speech. Again, the question remains, when push comes to shove, how much of these capabilities do the Russians have, and how much, if at all, does it change the game? Remember, one of the things that Russia's been most successful at and most adept at, according to intelligence officials in the U.S. and across the West, has not just been what he's been able to do with his military power, but the hybrid techniques that he uses, the combination of traditional military means and cyber operations, misinformation, disinformation campaigns. And that's part of what's made Russia such a formidable enemy for the West on the world stage.
VOA National Security Correspondent Jeff Selden reporting from the Pentagon. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Doug Bernard. So, Doug, what's trending?
Well, hello, and happy beginning of March.
Yes, happy now, March to you.
Yes, indeed. Now, of course, we know that February in the United States was Black History Month or African American History Month. Do you know what March is?
International or National Women's Month.
That's exactly right. And that is what is trending today in a big way. Hashtag Women's History Month. It's a time when lots of people will be kind of, you know, looking back at the contributions, the accomplishments of women around the world. And lots of people are talking about it. Among them, for example, Michelle Obama. She tweeted out under the hashtag Women's History Month, which is trending right now, quote, "I'm an example of what is possible when girls from the very beginning of their lives are loved and nurtured by people around them. I was surrounded by extraordinary women in my life who taught me about quiet, strength, and dignity." Here's a quote from Shirley Chisholm. Those who may not remember, Shirley Chisholm was the first African-American woman elected in her own right to the Congress, I think from Texas. I'm not exactly sure on that. But here's a quote from Shirley Chisholm. Quote, "You don't make progress by standing on the sidelines whimpering and complaining. You make progress by implementing ideas." Here is a tweet from somebody who calls themselves alt-fed employee. "Cue every misogynistic male ever crying about how they don't see why women get a whole month when they only get the rest of history." So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But it's surprisingly what's I suppose kind of cheering about this is I've been looking around and, you know, it's really kind of surprisingly snark-free. There are lots and lots of people, you know, talking about their experience, the women that they look up to in their lives and through history, and just not a lot of, you know, how social media can have just rude comments. So it's heartening in that way, I guess, and it's the big number one trender, at least in the United States right now.
All right. Thanks very much, Doug. That's social media editor Doug Bernard. Here are some of the top news stories that are trending. China protests a U.S. bill promoting travel between the United States and Taiwan. The White House hosts an opioid summit. Pakistan vows to heartedly assist the Afghan peace initiative. And President Donald Trump accuses lawmakers of being afraid of the NRA. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Recent reports have suggested that drinking a glass of wine may be beneficial to your health. Researchers have found that wine has a concentration of a type of antioxidant called polyphenols that can be good for heart, brain, and muscle health. Some studies have even found that it might be able to help fight cancer. Now, a new study published in the American Chemical Society's Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry proposes that drinking wine may also be good for oral health as well. The study authors found two polyphenols found in wine that were good at preventing bacteria that cause dental plaque, cavities, and periodontal disease from sticking to teeth and gum cells. The two wine polyphenols were identified as caffeic and p-cumeric acids. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on The Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, singer Kesha releases a new single and a new album. Italian voters go to the polls Sunday for parliamentary elections. The contest will be closely monitored as Europe's third largest economy grapples with the challenge of immigration. And one of the country's former prime ministers, 81-year-old Silvio Berlusconi, is prominent among the names of those who could determine the future of Italian politics. I spoke with Jamie Detmer in Italy about Berlusconi's possible role.
Well, he hopes to be the ringmaster, the grand manipulator after these elections. The polls suggest that his right-wing alliance, his party Forza Italia, plus the League, plus the Brothers of Italy and another smaller party, may well get pretty close to a majority. And then under tradition of Italian politics, to try to attract defecting lawmakers from other parties to give them that majority. Now, Berlusconi himself is banned from holding public office until 2019. That's because of a fraud conviction, a tax fraud conviction he received back in 2013. He's appealing it to a European court, but in a year's time, he could take the prime minister's role. One of his difficulties in this remarkable and highly improbable comeback is his partner, his main partner in the alliance, Matteo Salvini, the head of the League, who wants the prime minister's job for himself, and Berlusconi may not be able to block him. So that relationship between Salvini and Berlusconi, which isn't actually a happy one on a personal level, could well decide the fate of Italian politics over the next few weeks, months, and even years.
Why are the relations strained between these two men?
Oh, interesting question. It's not entirely clear. They're both highly ambitious. They want to be the top dog. I think this is two alpha males clashing. Berlusconi magazine, a magazine that he owns a huge number of media properties, a year ago splashed on the story picturing Salvini's fiance kissing another man while she was on holiday in Ibiza with the headline, "She loves another." This didn't really please Salvini, but the relationship has always been a bit testy between them. They've tried to present during the election campaign a unified picture, but they're not seen very often together. And Berlusconi makes the odd disparaging remark about Matteo Salvini.
Now, the current prime minister, the Prime Minister Paolo Gentiloni, he is also competing in this contest?
Well, yes, he is, although he's not leading his own party, the Democratic Party, which is part of a left-wing coalition. That's being led by another former prime minister, Renzi, who was the former mayor of Florence. But the PD, the Democratic Party vote, does look like it could be very seriously depressed. They may come in under 20%. The main party in that left-wing coalition, a bit like the German Social Democrats a few weeks ago, of course, who got pummeled in an election. No one really expects the PD to do that well. The big battle, really, is between the right-wing alliance led by Berlusconi, as far as we can tell from what opinion poll data we had a few weeks ago, because it's banned having more opinion polls in the final stretch. So the battle's between them and the Five Star Movement. So the Five Star Movement, which is a maverick anti-establishment party, which has drifted towards the right itself in recent months and is also very anti-migrant, as is the right-wing alliance, could well come out as the largest party, but not able to form a government on its own.
So it seems that immigration is really the main issue in this entire election.
Yes, in many ways it has completely dominated this election, particularly after the shooting in a central Italian town by a right-wing activist who shot and wounded six migrants. It's an expression of general frustration, I think, with Italian politics and Italian economics and the state of the country. So many people are blaming the 600,000 migrants who arrived in Italy in the past 2 years for a lot of the problems, like the strain on the government, lack of funding. But in many ways, it's a distraction. What's been very surreal about this election is that Italy has some very severe structural, economic, and social problems it faces. Huge challenges, particularly the extraordinary indebtedness of the country, the lack of jobs for young Italians, And these are not really being debated at all. It really has gone down in many ways to the issue of migration.
Jamie Detmer reporting from Italy. This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossing. I feature music and interviews with your favorite artists from all around the world. And you can not only listen, but you can interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT on VOA.
This is International Edition. A singer who's had some legal troubles has just released a new single. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me to tell us all about it.
Today we're going to listen to a brand new song from Kesha. Kesha, who was once known as the Queen of Glitter, because quite honestly, before she went on stage, she would roll around in a bath of glitter. She loved to cover herself in glitter. And she released a big hit called Tick Tock. That's what really introduced her to the pop scene. She recently did an interview where she said, those days were silly music. She doesn't regret the past, but they were silly. Nowadays, she's focused on real music and showing her fans and showing a new audience that she really can, in fact, sing. She was criticized for a speak-sing style in the past, but now she's got some great vocals on her brand new album, which is called Rainbow. It's her first new album in 4 years. She's been involved in a big legal battle, which kept her out of the music world. I'll tell you about that. But first, we're going to check out the new single from Kesha. And this is the follow-up to Praying. This one features Dap Kings, and it's called Woman.
So how has her music evolved over the years?
Well, great question, Sarah. You know, Kesha has matured. She just turned 31 this past week, and her new album, which is called Rainbow, has been doing very, very well. She's now kind of in a different place in her life. She's gone through a traumatic experience in courts, very public lawsuit she filed against her former producer, Dr. Luke, for physical and sexual abuse and assault. And she just dismissed the case in California. She said she's going to focus on her music, but the case in New York is still pending. She said, I plan to still fight that fight. It became a very public battle. She tried to get out of her contract at Sony. They wouldn't let her out of the contract. Dr. Luke obviously denies the allegations, and in view of the Me Too movement and everything that's going on when people are speaking up, it's a very timely issue. Kesha was one of the first to speak up about this about a year or so ago and file this lawsuit. A lot of people in the music industry support her and have been very vocal in their support for her. The song Praying, she says, saved her life. She was on a tour this past year for Rainbow, the last 12 months. She just canceled the last 10 shows on the tour because she tore her ACL.
Oh, no.
Which is a very painful thing to do. She tripped and fell during a concert in Dubai. And so she required knee surgery to repair the torn ligament. And as a result, she had to postpone the 10 shows in Taiwan and in the various different places throughout Asia, Japan, whatnot that she was headed. She regrets it, but she said she will reschedule those shows. This coming up summer, she's going out on tour with Macklemore. She's on a new song with Macklemore from his album, Gemini. The song is called Good Old Days. But for her, the new single that was just released this week is called Woman.
No, hopefully she'll have some better luck now.
We love her. Kesha's great. She stands for some great things, and she's kind of a champion for you know what's going on in the world of entertainment and showbiz right now. And her very powerful voice, very powerful lyrics, and her real name, by the way, is Kesha Rose Siebert. But we know her as Kesha.
Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings. I'm a woman, baby, all right. I need And that is the music of Kesha. Well, across the Atlantic, snow storms originating in Siberia have blasted Britain with the worst weather since 1991, trapping several hundred motorists on roads in Scotland, closing thousands of schools and grounding planes. With up to 90 centimeters of snow and temperatures as low as minus 10.3 Celsius in Scotland, Britain, and Ireland issued their most severe warnings, advising people to stay at home as travel is too dangerous. Police in Lincolnshire in eastern England said all roads were impassable. The frigid temperatures partially froze the fountains in Trafalgar Square. The cold spell has been caused by a jump in temperatures high over the Arctic, weakening the jet stream that brings warm air in from the Atlantic to Ireland and Britain. Britain's Met Office warned that freezing rain is likely across southern England as the storm pushes north from Portugal and France. I happen to have seen some photos on the internet of the storm, and I must say, from a distance looking at it, it looks very pretty. Well, that is our show. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
If there's one thing all armed conflicts have in common, it's that chaos and strife create opportunities for society's less scrupulous citizens, crooks, and thieves to enrich themselves by looting. This has been the case in Libya. Since the beginning of the Libyan civil war in 2011, looters made off with, among other priceless treasures, ancient statuary and collections of old coins, as well as a hoard of Hellenistic and Roman objects called the Benghazi treasure. They stole from bank vaults and museums, pillaged antiquity displays and archaeological sites, keeping the profits for themselves or using them to finance terrorist activities. The United States is one of the destination countries for such loot, and that is why the United States and Libya signed in late February a landmark bilateral Memorandum of Understanding on cultural property protection. The memorandum will impose import restrictions on categories of archaeological material representing Libya's cultural heritage dating from 12,000 BC through 1750 AD and Ottoman ethnological material from Libya dating from 1551 to 1911 AD. Heritage sites that are hundreds and thousands of years old, a record of civilization over time, are rapidly being destroyed for financial gain. In the spirit of our close security partnership, the United States and Libya are committed to denying terrorists and transnational criminal groups access to this funding stream, said Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy and Public Affairs Stephen Goldstein at the signing ceremony.
The United States has been unwavering in its commitment to protect and preserve cultural heritage around the world and to prevent trafficking in cultural property that finds criminal and terrorist networks. Our policy is clear. The unlawful destruction of cultural heritage and the trafficking of cultural property are unacceptable.
The goals of cultural property agreements are to reduce the incentive to pillage, to help countries protect their cultural heritage and increase lawful access to cultural objects and awareness of world heritage by encouraging interchange of materials for scientific, cultural, and educational purposes, said Undersecretary Goldstein. The new agreement demonstrates a joint commitment of the United States and Libya to ensuring that Libya's heritage, of which Libyans are justifiably proud, will be protected and accessible for future generations to enjoy and appreciate.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.